You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. When working with a spiritual teacher, a community must consider how to carry on the lineage once the teacher dies. In this talk, Reggie says that the authentic lineage of Chogyam Trungpa will only survive into future generations if integrity trumps strategy, and the individual journey of each student is held as inviolable. This talk was given at the 2011 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
So, you know, I'm spent my life engaged in wishful thinking about everything, which is, I guess, you know, not that unusual. And at this point, I've become a little suspicious of my wishful thinking. And statistically, the chance of any situation being able to maintain its freshness and its vitality and, most of all, its integrity. I mean, if you look around... So, you know, I'm asking myself... Somehow I think this is going to be okay, but I mean, after I'm gone, I mean, while I'm around, I can make comments, but after I'm gone, of course, my influence is going to be different. I know for certain I'm going to be part of you and part of this work, but it's going to be like him. It's not going to be through a human body. It's going to be this other way. But be that as it may, because you see, the thing about him is you are never off the hook. And if I think by dying I'm going to be off the hook, that's just not how he does business. And you are not going to be off the hook. I forgot to mention that yesterday, actually. But in terms of, so the question, my question is, you know, how, in what way will the integrity of this lineage carry on? Integrity. You know what I mean by integrity? In other words, I have this thing that's been going through my mind the last few days, because there have been a few situations that have come up where I see the temptation to be strategic rather than have integrity. And so my thing is, and I want to put this up in all the administrative offices, integrity trumps strategy. So that's one thing, that we, as individual people, I'll give you an example. Last summer was, we did VTI, and it was very difficult because there were some people there that really were not ready. So I asked one of the meditation instructors who had said, they're ready. And I said, this person isn't ready. How could you say that? And they said, oh, we thought you, they were close to you. And so we thought we should just overlook the fact that they weren't ready. The minute that kind of thing starts to become widespread, you might as well pack up your bags and go, you know, go somewhere else. So what I'm saying now, this is for the administration, and you get my edge. Integrity has to trump strategy or strategic interests. You know what I mean? Whatever gain or loss is going to happen doesn't matter. What matters is that how we are with each other and the decisions we make hold and are faithful to the integrity of the lineage. And what is the integrity of the lineage? It is the inviolability of your sacredness as a person and the inviolability of your journey. And the minute in a one-to-one thing or in an organizational thing, the inviolability of the journey of the individual practitioner is compromised, it's over. When that happens, people are harmed. People are harmed. You have a, you know, we hold a sacred trust. And the first trust is our own journey, to be faithful to that. And the second trust is the journey of other people. And we have to be faithful to that. And as long as we as a community are very clear about that, we'll be okay. Now, how are we going to be okay with that? We're going to be okay with that by practicing, by working on ourselves, and by gradually eliminating our own self-deception in our lives. That's how it's going to happen. We don't have to be members of Dharma Ocean. We don't have to be anything. But if we're following this lineage, we have to be faithful in that way to ourselves. So, we can't use each other. This is the important point. None of us can use each other. And you know this. I mean, this is what we've been doing all month. There's a sense of openness and tenderness and letting go of one's own agenda for the benefit of the people around us. And you don't have to take the Bodhisattva vow. You don't have to take the refuge vow. But there's a common understanding. And sometimes we do, by mistake, we use other people. Some little thing, some little manipulation, we feel bad about it, and we should feel bad. Because at that point, we've dishonored ourselves, and we've dishonored the other. So, the integrity of the lineage is up to each person here. And, you know, I try to receive people as a whole when I meet them, but that doesn't exclude discrimination. You know, I think the more you receive people as a whole, the more you see, you know, really what's going on with them. And the question that's always in my mind when I sit down with people, you know, wherever, talk at Naropa or, you know, something in Boulder or, you know, interviews in Boulder, here, wherever, is to look at people and see if they, if there seems to be that sense of personal integrity in them. And sometimes people come in initially and they're very oppositional with me. And they're suspicious, they're paranoid, and they're angry. And they don't even know me. But the thing is, if that's coming out of a space of integrity, which it often is, I am absolutely okay with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I am going to be me, and no, you know, fucking teacher is going to get between me and being me. That works for me. Even if I'm the fucking teacher. On the other hand, somebody can come in and be very sweet, and meantime I get a sense that I'm being manipulated, I'm being worked. And I can't find the center, I can't find the sense of commitment to themselves. So I think, you know, and you know, sometimes I can be very sharp and I can just send people away. And sometimes I can be almost, it seems, mean to people. And you have to, you're going to have to do that too. Rinpoche said that his work was to sit down with somebody and to say yes when yes needed to be said and to say no when no needed to be said. It's very simple. It's very matter of fact. There's no investment, you know, particularly on his part. But you have to do the work. And the work is, if somebody's being sleazy, you have to call them. If somebody does something inappropriate, they have to go think about it. I've asked many people to leave programs over the years. I mean, in any one program, usually it's only one or two people. Neil and I had a moment early in the Dhaten, and I was ready to send him into retreat. I was ready to do it. And I did that actually once before with somebody who was second in command. I said, you know, really need you to go into retreat for 4 or 5 days. And but somehow it never came up because Neil and I got through it. We talked, we communicated. Neil showed up, I showed up, and we did it. But I just want you to know that we as a Sangha, to maintain the integrity of this lineage, we have to be straight with each other, with kindness and gentleness. You know, unloading on somebody is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody does something and it makes you really, really, really angry. And maybe you're angry for a very good reason. Maybe you saw somebody harm somebody else. You sit down, you do the bodhicitta work, you do tonglen for this person until the charge is gone, until you see them as they are, and then you go talk to them and you say something. You know what I was saying to Don't Be Shy yesterday to Terry? And that's what I mean for everybody here. Don't be shy about maintaining the integrity of the lineage, because without that, I'm telling you, within a year after I'm gone, it's going to be gone, unless you guys pick it up. And this is the time when you pick it up right now. What I realize with Rinpoche Sangha is when a new student comes in and they are not treated with integrity, you've lost them. They may still be community members, but they're going to think, oh, that's how it goes. And then they're going to do the same thing. So the integrity issue is the only important thing, in my opinion. In our lineage, there have been times when there were only like one or two students in the lineage. And in fact, at the time of Tilopa, Naropa was really the only one, you know, who was able to fully show up. And Tilopa gave him a very, very hard time because he wanted to check and see if this person could do it. And I do that with you too. I have to check and see if you can do it. And it's not going to be a one-shot deal. I'm going to be checking until I die, and then I'm going to continue to check. And you're always checking on me, and you should. You know, does Reggie have integrity? Can I trust the situation? You know, is he doing this just for his own personal purposes, or is he really there for me? So this constant checking back and forth, you know, you may feel, oh my God, do we really have to? I'm just looking for a home, I'm looking for a family. But this is how we create the family. This is how we create the home. It's a true home for everybody. And that's what I mean by integrity, that we see where we are approaching other people in terms of what we want. That's a loss of integrity right there. It happened right then. And we need to realize what we're doing, and we need to stop, and we need to come into the other person. So we'll have a short break, and for the first time, it doesn't have to be silent. And then we'll come back, and I would like to do some practice with you. Okay? So just one further thing about the integrity issue. You know, in the Ritra Gumpo chant, where it says, please protect the integrity of the practicing lineage. So we're activating the lineage at that point to protect the integrity. And it says, those who would disrupt or harm this Dharma realization, make them confused, conflicted, and inept. You have to realize we're talking about ourselves. So, you know, whatever part of ourselves is trying to misuse the lineage, we're saying, please make us conflicted, confused, and inept. So it doesn't work. Whatever we're trying to do, it doesn't work. It falls flat. And then, whoever seeks to use the teachings for personal gain, for fame, power, or self-aggrandizement, of course, that's also us. Because we're on the journey, we're on the path, and all of us are going to fall into that, you know, using it for fame. You know, I want to become famous in the Sangha, maybe, or in the world, whatever. Power, you know, I want to have more oomph because of my practice with other people. I want people to really kind of stand in awe of me. Or self-aggrandizement. You know, this is a human thing. And, you know, I'm mentioning this for two reasons. One is that the chant, I just want you to know the chant is about us first. It's maybe a little bit about outside things, but mostly it's about our own ego that's being, we're requesting here. And you can use the chant in that way. Devour them with ferocious delight. You know, you're just putting your ego up there for them to feast on. And then all fraud, charlatans, pretenders, and their henchmen, along with their facsimile dharma, kill them and release them into Dharma Dhatu, which says, so you see there's a progression here. The first one is the gentle reminder we become conflicted, confused, and inept. The next one is they eat up our ego. And then the last one is, if I don't get it on those two levels, kill me, take me out. And when you do this chant, if you think consciously this is about you and that you're requesting the lineage to keep you faithful, it will be very powerful and very helpful. And I'm, you know, it's interesting, we haven't talked about this before. Usually people think it's about something, you know, bad people out there. It's not. It's about the ego tendency that we all have. And again, you know, to come back, the container of the Sangha needs to be bodhicitta. It needs to be the warmth and the tenderness. And in these practices, we're actually beginning to learn how to inhabit the experience of other people, which is very, very, very important. But this is also very equally important, that when the difficult thing needs to be said, we need to find a way to say it and not hold back. And this is a potential danger, I think, in our Sangha, that we come here and there is such a sense of acceptance and love that, you know, we don't want to say the sharp thing, we don't want to create a disruption in the warmth that we have with another person. But I'm asking you, as part of your commitment to this lineage, that, you know, when something needs to be said, and when you see something going on that's not right, that you say something about it. It's the greatest gift you can give to other people. Now, it does have to come out of, like I said, you have to deactivate first, because people can't hear it. If you're sharp and you're coming out of your own anger, they won't hear it. It's not going to do any good. But that being said, if we deactivate and then we say something, have the deep respect and decency as a member of the practicing lineage with your brother or sister to know that, I mean, these are good people, and if something is said in a way that is really trying to get through to them and trying to communicate, that it's going to land. And it may take them a couple of years to come back and talk to you. Hopefully it won't. But it could. But they will come back. They will process what you said. They will learn from it. It's the hardest thing in the world. And, you know, for me personally, it's taken a long time to... in the old days, you know, when I would get irritated or angry, I would say something. But it was very hard for me when I was not activated to say things to people that were difficult. And what I've learned is I have to. I have to do it. I have to do it, and we have to do it. So there needs to be a balance between love, between saying yes and saying no. We need to be willing to say no to each other too, so that this lineage can continue and have the integrity that really people want. People want that kind of integrity. Well, I think, you know, the more you practice and the more you trust yourself, you'll notice the difference between when it's coming out of just being activated, being freaked out, being pissed off or whatever, and when it's really something from your heart. And I think you said something really important. You said you work with yourself. And I think any time that we feel that activation, which may be irritation or whatever it may be, it doesn't have to be, you know, open aggression, but we're just feeling, I really don't like that. We do have to work with ourselves and sit with it until that diminishes, because it will diminish. Eventually, however pissed off we are, it's going to settle down, and then we can say something. So I think that's the key point, is what you said, working with yourself. And then I think you kind of figure it out. And sometimes you make mistakes, but, you know, you can... Then you go apologize, and then there's more room for, you know, communication. So I think it's okay.
And sometimes it feels like I had the feeling like, oh, the lineage will do its work without me putting myself out there.
You know what I'm going to say about that. Yeah. That's great, though. But that's a great thing to mention, because that does go through our mind. Somebody else will take care of it. But the thing is, you know, you have to realize the way reality works is lightning only strikes once. And if there's something for you to do, and it might not be communication, but it might be even something in your life that needs to happen. You know what I was saying about leap to the situation? Leap to the situation. Don't even think about it. The minute you start to see something has come up and you need to do it, something you need to do or say or whatever it may be, maybe you were angry at somebody and there they are and you could apologize, but you don't really want to. You just have to go ahead and do it. You have to leap. Hesitation, Rinpoche always said, you know, overcome hesitation. Leap to the situation. Because, you know, we do know. I mean, you know, the more we practice and become clear about what we feel and what we experience, the more we actually know. The problem is we don't want to do it because sometimes it's painful or it's dangerous, but we still have to do it. So thank you for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
More of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.